Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 229, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022, 3-22-22. So, you got the double 22s, which is huge. I was going to say it's also big, but it's huge. Also, Miles, what day is it?
National 3D Day.
Yes.
Okay, so get out your blue and red glasses and head to 7-Eleven because Fox is going to do something real interesting this Sunday night.
Oh my God.
With Smell-O-Vision. Remember that those old promotions in the 90s?
Oh, I thought that was something real that you were talking about that was happening right now.
No, but do you remember in the 90s they did like, they would do like certain episodes on TV in 3D on Fox, like on Sunday, like The Simpsons or in Living Color, and then like you'd have to go to 7-Eleven to get 3D glasses or like a scratch and sniff thing?
I never bought in, man. I was a real cynical ass little kid, you know?
I bought the fuck in, man. And also, Jack, National West Virginia Day.
Hey! Shout out to Wheeling, West Virginia. Shout out to, yeah, just that city. I can't really speak for the rest of the state, but Wheeling, which is just the very tippy top of that point that sticks up, is a great town.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, and shout out to 3D, man. I'm leading the bandwagon for Avatar 2. Yeah, I think it's going to change a lot of people's minds, hearts, and lives. Is what I'm for. And our guest today has like an Avatar themed microphone. Kind of. It looks like it could exist in the world of Pandora.
Don't fucking hate.
I would
hate
never
the
hate.
Player, hate the, or no, hate the
hate
game.
The mic.
I can't remember how it goes.
Don't hate the mic.
I forget
the
how it goes. I just found out about the saying. I love it. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
There it is.
All right.
It's a new saying I just heard about.
New saying that all the kids are saying.
Oh, yeah. And they're also saying, I'm back on my bullshit. That is a real one.
That is a real one.
I'm back on my bullshit over here.
Chris Crofton is back on his bullshit because he's our guest today, but we haven't announced that yet.
No,
but
I'm going to be quiet.
That's what's called a teaser. Or is he? We don't know.
Right?
What if this was all an elaborate tease and then the guest was somebody else?
Just we get someone else in.
I'm coy.
Hey, anyways, Chris, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. While switching from coffee to matcha tea, it's kind of hard being TDZ's Jack O.B. That is courtesy of Chevy Suburban and gave me a chance to go back and watch the Gin and Juice music video, which is much funnier than I remembered.
Yeah.
Snoop plays a loser, like in the thing. Yeah. Well, he plays a loser slash a little kid. Like a 13-year-old or something. Like at the beginning, his mom's telling him he has to get out of bed, and then like they're leaving town, and then she's like, "You have to get out of the house." And then he goes and rides bikes.
Yeah.
There's also an invocation of like of Home Alone when his parents leave. He turns to the camera and does the Home Alone.
Right.
It's really funny, and yeah, just amazing that was Snoop's. Like, all right, my first solo single. Here's what we're going to do. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
All you listeners eat your apples like this. Start at the bottom, don't stop, don't quit. All you listeners eat your apples like this. Start at the bottom, don't stop, don't spit. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it now. Eat it good. Eat that apple from the bottom like you shouldn't. Okay, shout out to me. Ooh. Just thinking of my neck, my back, and eating apples from the bottom. Decided to
infuse
the two.
That was all you?
Yeah.
Damn. You are keeping it alive. Have you tried eating an apple from the bottom yet? Because it seems to have captivated your imagination.
No, I'm like a conservative who heard about gay marriage, you know? I'm like, what the heck? They're doing what? And just obsessed, no firsthand experience, only projecting my own weird shit onto it. And living it like that. My dad, I got to ask him, I meant to text him over the weekend and be like, would you consider eating an apple from the bottom just to see what the response would be? Because I have a feeling he would be confounded if I had even mentioned the thing. But
anyway. And your dad is the number one apple eater in your life.
The apple of my eye.
And then you're just watching a bunch of videos of people eating apples from the bottom, like a conservative with.
They're like, this man who's against eating apples from the bottom, his hard drive says a completely different story.
Tells a different story. Anyways.
Got terabytes of apple footy.
Miles, we have a guest. We're always thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. Also the face on the cover of his new book. No big deal, which looks like, I don't know, it is a book that looks like it should exist on bookshelves. It's a good looking book, I guess, is one way of saying it. But it also just looks great. Whoever
it's
designed
a good looking
it,
book.
A fucking plus.
I can tell you all about it.
Hey, well, you haven't been introduced yet, bro.
Oh, I forgot.
Hey, get behind
Boz.
The curtain.
God get behind the curtain, Boz.
Oh, man.
He's a hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, a musician with a highly rated album on Pitchfork. I think I got it wrong last time. Is it 7.6?
7.4.
7.4.
Just like a 15 from a normal fucking site.
Yeah, exactly. You can listen to his podcast, Cold Brew Got Me Like. You can also watch him stream it on Twitch with his fancy microphone. Go pre-order his new book, The Advice King. It's available for pre-order on a website called Amazon, as well as probably better booksellers. Hold on to your butts, because the poetry window is open. It's Chris motherfucking Crofton!
Wow! That's so great. That's so, man, you know you're doing well when you get bored during your own intro. Wow.
Yeah, you're picking your nails and shit.
My God. Man, oh man. I got so many credits that I almost fell asleep during them.
You started giving me the wrap-up motion right when I said, hello, the internet, and welcome to... Yeah.
So. I wish I had a daily...
Look, I get it.
I wish I had an AKA. I was going to do an AKA, and then I settled down. I was about to do my own fake AKA.
Oh, hell yeah.
From a guy named, you know, like, Crazy Squid or whatever.
Crazy Squid.
Yeah, Crazy, hey, that's crazy some Crazy Squid. Squid. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Even flow... you know,
got Crofton like, on the TDZ.
But it shouldn't be even flow. It'd have to be like internet flow. You know, something's horrible. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't
Cold
know how
brew.
To do it.
Cold Joe? Brew got me like.
Yeah, I didn't do it. And also, I've got to get away from Cold Brew Got Me Like as a brand, because it's starting to
Well, you got those notes from Big Cold Brew on your podcast.
I mean, for a man who's had his life ruined by a Cold Brew meme, you would think that I would be sponsored, but no. Because I think everything happens by just me sitting around and waiting for people to call me up. And you can see what happened to me. I'm 52 years old.
And Cold Brew no longer has you, like?
Cold Brew still hasn't called me up.
Well, you got to start tagging, Chris.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even know what that is.
You got to join a hype house. Or I do know what tagging is. Later on.
I'm not going to act like I don't know what tagging is. I just don't know how to do it. I just don't know.
We were concerned.
I'm interested in it.
Yeah. I'm tag curious.
I'm interested in tagging.
I am. Yeah. I just haven't been able to. I see the button and I'm getting there.
Hey, one step at a time.
All right. Well, Chris, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Republican attacks, in quotes, on Ketanji Brown Jackson. Yeah, she's set to make history as the first Black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice. And they got nothing, it would appear.
They got absolutely nothing.
They got a mirror. They're accusing her of being like a dark money shill. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the front page of Time magazine has the creator of Ethereum. So another one of these like leading crypto minds. And he's like, oh, it's bad. we're hearing from a lot of people who understand crypto because like that is not me. I don't understand all the ins and outs. I did watch that feature length explainer. The line goes up. I've read a bunch of articles. The New York Times even had like a thing in their business section over the weekend. It was like, here's the guide to crypto for all you latecomers.
It's like a flow chart. Which crypto should you buy? It's like, wait, hold on.
So Jackson Palmer, co-creator of Dogecoin, we talked about his opinion on yesterday's episode that crypto has a problem of just immediately gravitating towards the right. And now we have this dude who's like the creator of the number two, I think, cryptocurrency.
Ethereum.
And he has some grave concerns. We'll talk about those, all of that, plenty more. But before we get to any of that shit, Chris, we do like to ask our guests, and we particularly like to ask you, what is something from your search history?
Well, it's funny because I've lately, like, I've run out of weird shit to, like, I'm, like, now Googling, like, weird shit. Like, I'm out of all the, like I was going to talk about the Dyatlov Pass. Do you guys know about Dyatlov Pass?
I do.
It's like the Dyatlov Pass is like the, I don't know, like the Allman Brothers of the weird, you know what I mean? Like, it's like everybody knows. They're like, oh, right. Jesus, what
it's
are you talking about?
Because we know about like, it. Doesn't it's mean like our listeners know about it.
I think we talked about the last time.
But like, did we talk about Dyatlov Pass last time? No, we didn't.
Pretty sure. I know the three of us have discussed the Dyatlov Pass.
Did we talk about the sex position I made up called Dyatlov Pass?
Okay.
No.
Now, is that what happened when you Googled weird shit?
It's just a bunch of people in a tent. But Dyatlov Pass, for those of you who don't know, is like a bunch of Russian hikers like in the 1970s ended up just like getting fucking, well, they died.
In mysterious circumstances.
But they also ended up like dead, like in ways that were just like totally crazy, like, you know, like spread out over like a huge amount of space. And like all of them were had different injuries and some of them were like naked and stuff. And so anyway, I just think it's funny that I've gotten into the, like, I'm the same. I'm like Dyatlov Pass. Like I'm doing Cold Brew Got Me like the podcast. And I like to talk about something strange, you know, and I realized that I've talked about all the strange things and now I'm into hack. Strange things like, hey, have you guys heard about the Philadelphia experiment?
Right.
And they're like, no way. How about the Rendlesham Forest incident? They're all incidents.
is that the like British military UFO
yes,
encounter?
Yes, everybody knows. It's horrible. It's like after, it's like,
I got
when,
nothing.
It's just like because. When, it's like the year punk broke. It's like when Nirvana broke. It's like nightmare. It's like, because now the History Channel's got all this shit on blast, if that's the right thing to say.
Yeah.
On blast.
Killing it, young man.
Miles, do you know? I'm kind of a UFO head, though, which is a cool thing to call yourself. But, Miles, do you know about that? the forest incident? Rendlesham?
No.
My boyfriend's a UFO head. Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Good for it. Sounds great. How's that work?
Hanging out with her fucking boyfriend.
I bet brunch is a blast. UFO
head. Rendlesham Forest. You know what I'm talking about. Oh,
wait,
man.
So what's the Rendlesham, Harry and the Hendersons Forest?
Rendlesham Forest is like a very believable UFO sighting where like this little fucking UFO that was pretty small actually went around in the woods in England. And like a bunch of people tailed it. And like these guys were running around and they have it all on audio. Like they have audio from the...
Yeah. Concurrent recordings.
Who the fuck
like,
was
what's
recording walkie talkie transmissions back then on like a reel to reel or something?
But again, it's one of these things that you see in some of the UFO encounters where it's not a thing where somebody's just happens to be walking in the forest and like encounters a bright light. Like both this and the example of the Tic Tac where like the fighter jets were scrambled out to see it. Like the UFOs were there for a while. And so like, that's why they were recording, is they went out there to be like, there is something very strange going on. There's like all these weird lights that are like floating through the forest. And we are a military base that I believe had like nuclear capabilities. Maybe not, but
it was a great story.
Yeah. It's an unbelievable story, but
I would say it's true unless some like the idea is everybody says it's a weather balloon, you know, but that's kind of like, nobody believes that. Everyone knows that's a
right,
like
a tiny weather balloon.
A
that
cover
was, like,
story, yeah. This
is
like, yeah, like there's unless the government was like created a tiny little UFO that, yeah, like burnt trees and like traveled around in the woods, which seems like there's no way that's not a military thing. They're not trying to
one thing.
The
military
woods.
Loves a goof.
They're trying, military not trying loves to explore the woods. Oh, yeah. The military doesn't want to check out the woods. I've said that three times. That's cold brew. That's what I was going to say. Okay, so what I've gotten into is I still watch abandoned mine videos because they reliably find stuff. And I am sick of, I watched Curse of Oak Island for fucking seasons, you know, but I watched it on the bootleg version where it's all wavy on YouTube. Right. Like where they have to shrink the screen and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's
pitched
like
up like a couple cents.
Yeah, like put like a bunch of swirlies, like swirly patterns on the side of the screen or something. And they kind of do the show backwards.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Oak Island hasn't found anything in like nine seasons. I give them credit for, you know, trying, but I'm tired of it. And at least at the abandoned mines, they find a glove.
They're still delivering.
You know, oh, they'll find like a Prince Albert tobacco tin.
Yeah.
You know, reliably.
Yeah, right.
And that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Artifact. The first time Chris came on, he was talking about mudlarking, then people fishing around in rivers, I believe, at one point.
Mm-hmm. What a disrespectful way to describe magnet fishing.
Magnet fishing, my bad.
People fishing around in rivers.
Oh, yeah, magnet fishing.
It's magnet only fishing. One of the top sports in the world.
But I feel like we're slowly honing in on...
Did you not see the Olympics?
The pay dirt. Yeah.
Magnet fishing.
Magnet fishing.
Yeah, they stock the pond. They stock it with, like, wrenches and... and lawn chairs. That's all they ever find is fucking lawn chairs and wrenches. And they're always like, pretty good day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't a good day. Not, you know, really. They're like, if you think a good day is finding a lawn chair and a wrench.
I found three wrenches.
But they're like on the upside. We got drunk. I mean, it's just like regular fishing. Like, it doesn't matter what you catch. It's just about how drunk you get.
It's about the friends you make.
I'm having a premonition or whatever it's called when you think you've had this exact conversation before. But is there a...
That makes me sad. we've had this conversation with Crofton before.
Well, we've just done so many shows. My brain is broken. But is there a genre where people go into garbage dumps and like dig through garbage dumps and like evaluate our trash? That would be interesting to me.
Well, they definitely wouldn't be evaluating it because people like that they just hold it up to the camera.
Mm.
Like they don't say anything about like historical. And most of the time they're just look at this fucking thing.
High chair for a baby.
This is probably old, or maybe it's not. Oh, but I think it is. Well, it might not be though. Could be contemporary, but I'm pretty sure it's old, or maybe it's not. That's pretty much the whole thing. But people go to the dump and find dump cans. Like they'll find old beer cans, like from because stuff.
They're
in the dump.
Like searching for treasure, essentially.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you can find. I mean, dumps are. I'd like to go to the dump.
We all know the old adage.
I'd like to go to the dump. They never let me in. They said I need a license or something.
But there's this Arizona like sociologist, I think is what his profession is called. And he evaluates people's trash and like to determine things about like modern America based on our garbage, which is like the only actually democratic like way to evaluate people is through their garbage, because everybody gets right. their garbage collected by usually the state or, you know.
Well, there's two things about garbage. First of all, I read a thing where you have hot dogs have so many preservatives in them that you can find a hot dog from the 1950s in a landfill that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever eaten it, because I know there's that guy, New England Wildlife and More, who eats old food, but I've never, right. he should do a thing where he goes to the dump and actually eats food out of the dump, but that's a recommendation for New England Wildlife and More if he's watching. He also unclogs culverts. He has a whole separate channel devoted to unclogging culverts. Like this has been brought to my attention by other people, like people like who listen to Cold Brew Got Me, like, you know, they're like, stop talking about the Dyatlov Pass and start talking about the fact that your man, New England Wildlife and More, the guy who eats old food from the 1930s but couldn't get it during the pandemic because they canceled the state sales, that man, when he couldn't get the old food, started unclogging culverts. And he has a girlfriend, and they go together. And it turns out a culvert is a pipe. I thought a culvert was like a little ditch or something. A culvert is the name of the actual pipe that goes under a road.
Oh, right,
and
right.
New England Wildlife and More is obsessed with culverts, and he camped out on a culvert. He put a tent on top of the pipe and was like, I'm camping out on top of a culvert. It's right underneath me. But he was like, it was like an achievement. Like, it's like, but he's genuine. You know what I mean? He's not doing this as a stunt. He's passionate right. about pipes. Like, he likes pipes, like the pipe. He's like, it's right underneath me. I'm on top of the culvert. And you're like, that's what? It's so confusing. But then you realize yes. this is what life's about.
Yeah,
you know,
finding the thing that gives you joy.
Yes, stop trying to make $1 billion and go to the moon and start getting excited about pipes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is literally almost word for word what I have written later in the doc, because I swear to God, because of the fucking, like, the fact that crypto has now democratized people's ability to make their job, like, finding ways to game, like, little markets. And so now we have even more brain power just being dumped into fucking bullshit and, like, gambling markets, essentially, instead of unclogging culverts or building a new culvert that doesn't need to be unclogged.
And sometimes, like, lakes have drains in them. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know what that's all about. I haven't gotten into it. But he likes unclogged drains, and he's like, when the drain goes, he's like so pumped, and he has a girlfriend who's into it.
Creates a whirlpool.
I mean, I don't have a girlfriend. And this culvert guy? This guy who's got some woman who'll go with him to unclog culverts?
Sounds like he needs to switch it up.
Yeah. Nailed it.
That's just like, he must be wonderful in bed. That's all I can say. You got a girl who's willing to come with you. He's all right. I mean, I do have to spend a lot of time with pipes. He likes to unclog pipes. He doesn't have a whole lot of money. He eats old food, you know. He's all right, though. He's not. He's nice. So, yeah. So he unclogs pipes. He also camps out in an abandoned motel. Like, he's like, there's an abandoned motel right near this pipe I want to unclog. And so he stayed in the abandoned motel with a space heater in the room. And he kept saying, like, what temperature it was. He was like, it's still 40 degrees in here, even with the heater. So, yeah, and he has a girlfriend with him during that, you know.
Just like, and he has a girlfriend.
Like, you know, it's like, my goodness, these people are in love. And that's the kind of love I want.
Yeah.
I want the love where we both are insane.
Yes.
I just want to unclog shit.
Someone said that's the only kind of love.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
I was going to say, well, I have some miserable shit. Like, I was going to say overrated is America.
Right.
Which I know is tiresome, but I was just thinking about the fact that when I was working at the wine bar where I work, I overheard these people saying that they thought the war in Ukraine was on purpose to make the Republicans lose the midterms.
Oh, geez.
Which is like, America needs somebody to fucking slap the fucking shit out of it. Like, it needs somebody. The fact that America has been, I don't know why, but, like, I guess because it's remote and because Canada and Mexico are nice.
Right.
You know, we haven't been attacked.
Yeah.
But that's Americans have figured out, they have decided that we're just like, we just get to watch everything, like, and comment on it. Like, we're just like exempt from reality. Like, right. I mean, that just the idea that everything connects to us, like,
Yeah.
I mean, Americans truly think, I understand every culture probably thinks their culture is probably the only culture. I mean, there's a certain amount of that that's just like, you know, built into people so they don't, you know, so they can take care of themselves.
That is a, like, stereotype outside of America about America, though. Like, I don't think everybody has the same sickness.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that was that's all you need to know about America, how lost it is, because it's just been like allowed to pretty much party since World War II. You know, I mean, I know, you know, it's really just been a nonstop party around here. It's just shopping and popping bottles and whatever the fuck else is going on around here. And, you know, people have decided that we're exempt from reality, and like and everything in the whole globe has to do with like whether or not the Republicans are going to win, or whether the liberals of America are affecting like our control. Like, Nancy Pelosi started the war in Ukraine, basically. I mean, they're saying that. They're like, Ukraine is just a front for Hunter Biden. That's the only reason it exists, so he can have a job. Hell, that's what they're saying.
Like, that's why it was invented before what a America.
How disrespectful can you fucking get to 40 million people living in Ukraine than to say that the only reason they're even a country is because Hunter Biden needs a job? I mean, you've gone fucking crazy, and I'm tired of hearing it.
Yeah,
it's just the way that, you know, because they're speaking to people who aren't informed. So, you know, especially like when you hear people talk like that, it's like their news is like the equivalent of like some guy who just got back from his first semester of college and took some psych classes. It was like, here's the thing you got to know. And people are just like, yeah, of course, I would never say this to people who actually know about this topic. I'm going to say it to you because y'all are dumber than me. And that's how we keep this party going.
Right. And it's just because America, for some reason, has not had any other country arrive on its soil. And the Ukraine thing, the war, you know, is putting a little dent, casting a little pall on their party. You know, like, it's ruining their party a little bit because they don't quite know what to do with, the only reason that Vladimir Putin is like slaughtering civilians is because of the midterms. You know, it's like, really? Even they're like, that doesn't sound that good.
That doesn't right, man. As well.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the gas station and put Joe Biden stickers on the pumps. That's probably their most effective.
And it's distracting from that. That's the only good thing is like that. It's like, we have high gas prices. Yeah, but we're not getting fucking killed. You know, and it's like, there is a little bit of like steam out of there. It makes me happy that, happy is the wrong word, I guess, you know, just it makes me feel like maybe these people will come around to reality. But the problem is that they won't, because they're just not aren't interested in coming around to reality, because it's all, that's why there has to be, and there doesn't have to be anything. This is like me going back to, like, I'm always like on the show being like, remember when I did the live show and I accidentally said that's why 9/11 had to happen or whatever, to make Trey Parker and Matt Stone stop dressing in drag at the MTV Music Video Awards or whatever.
You're just speculating, like, that if Bush did 9/11, that's why.
I did not speculate about that. Oh, man, and rehabbing of George W. Bush is driving me fucking insane. That motherfucker drops a wreath on a Ukrainian fucking... Why is Obama hanging out with fucking George... No, it was Clinton, but it doesn't matter. It's all the same. But George W. Bush is a war criminal. Like, I mean, without a doubt, the man did the same thing that we were lamenting in Ukraine to fucking Iraq. And the only reason people aren't upset about Iraq is because Ukrainians look like they are white, basically. I mean, there's so much fucking bad shit going on. I am like only hoping, and I know it's probably not going to happen, but it will bring some people around to like, would you shut up about gas prices, you fucking assholes? Right. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a real thing.
Yeah.
I understand I don't know. If you're a person who has no money and you're all of a sudden your gas is doubled, I mean, that's a big fucking deal. But
yeah, but the thing is, that's why both parties are so good at this shit is because they find someone who's about to put it together and they throw some other shit in front of them and say, well, it's not that. Don't arrive at the right conclusion.
That's why they're going full steam ahead on the abortion thing. That's why they're doing this nonsense with the book banning. It's all the same fucking tricks over and over again. Hey, don't pay attention to the fact that, you know, that
what's actually happening. It's this other false problem that we'll say we're solving.
I went on this wrestler's Facebook one time, this guy named Dutch Mantel. And Dutch Mantel is a guy who was a wrestler in Memphis, in the Tennessee, in the Memphis, as opposed to Memphis, Egypt. He was in Memphis, Tennessee in the 80s, 1980s. And anyway, he's conservative. You know, like all these guys who were born, you know, whatever. He was self-made. He was born in a shoebox or whatever. And he trained and punched a bunch of meat or something. You know what I mean? Like these stories they have. You know, I invented myself as a wrestler. I came from nothing. I was born small. I was a baby. I grew myself up. You know, it's like all these crazy. No, that's what everybody does. I grew myself up and it got larger. My feet got big.
A small baby.
Yeah, I was born as man. I fucking grew myself up, got some bigger feet, got some boots on them, went down, what left the house. Not like these kids today. And stay in the house all the time. And so anyway, he became a wrestler, which is not exactly like... Anyway, he's got one of those self-made stories. So I went to check his Facebook out because he was saying a bunch of stuff on Twitter about that was crazy, you know, like the war, Pelosi started the war in Ukraine or whatever. And I looked at his Facebook and this guy, I saw what these people want. Their news is completely crazy.
Yeah.
Like completely, yeah. They're looking at the news. Their news is crazy. Like it has nothing to do with real news at all. And they get it in a big stack that looks just like regular news, like my news.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And except it's all from the like crazy time times or the we're in big trouble .org or whatever. And they are, it's just a fucking stack of bullshit. But this is what this guy thinks is happening. So he's like, oh my God.
Right.
Like Joe Biden fell down the stairs at the Eiffel Tower today. And his pants fell down. This is our president falling down the stairs of the Eiffel Tower and having his butt cheeks out.
And the video is just a cartoon.
Yeah. They are all like, I can't believe it. What's he even doing there? He should be back in America. He's in fucking, he's in the Eiffel Tower eating soup.
The ultimate betrayal.
Look at him. Soup. Oh my God. Spy cam footage of Biden. It doesn't look like Biden really.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and hear what you think is underrated.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed. Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And Chris, as you know, we also like to ask our guest, what is something you think is underrated?
Growing up in Connecticut, you know, they fucking groom you to be a goddamn stockbroker. And they're like, listen, man, take it. Take it. It's your fucking birthright. Take it. Yeah. It's the money. It's no fun, but you get money. It's no fun to be a stockbroker. I don't like it either, but you got to take it because that's the deal. You take it. I'm giving you the key, son. You fucking, you know, you fucking white Connecticut boy. Here's your key to the fucking white money, you piece of shit. Take it. It's no fun, but you get the money. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't want the money. I don't know why. You know, I want to be an artist. They're like, you want to be an artist. You want to break the chain of mediocrity? You won't take the key to the stockbroker money, you know, and they're so mad. Well, get out of here, you piece of shit. You're a disgrace to the white race. You stock broke like the rest of us. And if you try and have fun, you will pay.
Yeah.
So I fucking did it. I tried to have fun. And so for 30 years, I had to be like them. Those motherfuckers like Tucker Carlson's, the people I'm talking about, these people who are actual white supremacists.
Yeah.
Disguised as traditionalists or whatever they like to call themselves, like we're just in for into Western civilization or whatever that shit. That's Connecticut. Right. That's the same. All those people are like, man, you do the thing. You keep things going. You keep the money with us. And if you don't do it, you know, there's a real sense of that. Like you are supposed to take that fucking entry into the company that they're giving you. And if you don't, they get very angry because they say, oh, you're trying to do some different shit, huh? And blow the whole fucking racket. You're trying to tell people what's up. You fucking stock broke.
Yeah.
Ugh, you think stock the boring broke. Mafia.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, and then you fucking get to get drunk all the time. And that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing we find acceptable. You can get drunk as shit and barf all everybody someone's China set. You can go to someone's fucking Thanksgiving and fuck the turkey on the table, and that's okay as long as it's related to drinking. They'll send you to rehab in fucking Martha's Vineyard. But you have to, you know, anyway, you have to accept your birthright of boredom and money and white fucking bullshit. So listen to me. I don't want to talk about fucking race. But it is appropriate because fucking these people they really associate this with race. I mean, they don't talk about it, but fucking Tucker Carlson's letting the cat out of the bag in a big way. Because there's many more like Tucker Carlson. He's not some aberration. They just don't usually yell it on TV. You know?
Right.
And they're probably mad at him for fucking blowing it. You know, they're like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, probably. So telling these people after they've treated me like an outcast ever since then. They're like, oh, look, here comes this guy who tried to be an artist. You know, like, how's it going, 50-year-old? You enjoying your life in the fucking gutter or wherever you live? You fucking, you know, you piece of shit. You low-life, non-stockbroker, fucking, I'm going to have a good time in life, motherfucker. And then you go, I got a book coming out on Vanderbilt. Because there's only like three things those motherfuckers value. And that's like a stiff gin and tonic. And like, a really good golf handicap
and good schools, which are, of course, also diploma mills for rich people.
Right.
And you know, Vanderbilt University is one of the things they value. And
old
so
money,
I get
baby.
To tell those motherfuckers that I got a book coming out on Vanderbilt University and all they got is a 9-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what, though? That. It makes them real mad.
Yeah.
Because you know what? My book's going to be on bookshelves forever, right next to the Bible.
Right next to the Bible. That was actually part of your contract.
It's a theological. Yes,
that's
yeah,
what I said. It's got to sit next genre. To the Bible.
Right
that's
next why it's to the
called
Bible. The,
that's why it's called the Bad Bice Bing Bangthology. So anyway, fucking these people are mad and they don't get it because they know that their 9-bedroom house is going to crumble and they're going to be just a face, a blank tombstone that says stockbroker man. Mm-hmm. 000 to 000. Mm. And I'm going to be on the shelf with the Bible, and it makes them very mad. And they also just wonder what Vanderbilt I'm talking about. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to say I got a book coming out on Vanderbilt because they're like, amazing. Really? It's really like I said, like I just commandeered your boat or something. Like it's the same thing. I've now taken possession of your boat.
I'm the captain now.
Yeah, I've taken your boat. You don't have a boat anymore. I own it. Yeah, your boat, like Lucy's Folly, that huge boat you have parked in Westport, Connecticut. Yeah, that's mine now. I own it. And I will be sailing it. And I also am taking possession of your 9-bedroom house.
That's the next step move. Two.
The Bad Bice Bing Banthology.
Next to the Bully Bible.
Anyway, that's I was just thinking, I just can't underrate it as telling rich people that you have shit coming out on Vanderbilt University when they thought you were a sleazebag your whole life.
There you go.
Just because you weren't a stockbroker. You're not a sleazebag. You're just not a stockbroker. And they're like, yeah. Oh, Mr. Freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mr. wants to have a fun life and ruin everything and ruin Western civilization.
Yeah. That feels surprisingly close to like the, like when you read histories of like the CIA or like people in Skull and Bones, like what they would say like word for word to each other. Like
it's a very serious
thing.
It's
not like an unspoken thing that they don't consciously think out loud.
No, Western civilization is something those people consider to be handed down those societies, through fucking, you know, whatever. It's just through lacrosse teams and through all these. Like, what does lacrosse have to do with anything? You know what I mean?
Well, it all brings us back to the Dyatlov Pass, which I think, we need to talk about what's happening in the news. Let's talk about the Republican Party's attacks on Ketanji Brown Jackson, set to make history as the first black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice. And yeah, they don't really have shit. So they're coming with she is funded by dark money, which is pretty fucking wild coming from a party that is basically doing the bidding of a handful of like 100 really wealthy people at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing, you know, like she's eminently qualified. She has more experience, even 4 sitting justices, judicial experience, than 4 sitting justices. So yeah, the attacks aren't going to really be on the merits at all. It's just going to be to find a way to maybe get some whip up some outrage, get some people out there to say like, oh, this is bad because dark money thing. So first off, McConnell, the second that she was announced, Mitch McConnell said, quote, she was the favored choice of far left dark money groups that have spent years attacking the legitimacy and structure of the court itself. Dark money groups attack. I think I've heard that before. Laura Ingraham, even before she was announced, said, whoever Biden's pick would be, quote, the product of a shady network of dark money groups that are working to subvert, not just to change or add to our judiciary, but to change our entire system of government and, frankly, our entire way of life. And, you know, again, just to check their resumes really quick. Okay, Mitch McConnell, yeah, you were big in undermining campaign finance stuff. You're a big fan of Citizens United. Okay, you're the lord of conservative dark money entering Congress. Check. Ingraham also worked for a Koch-funded dark money group and is still very tied closely to that group. So it's one of these things, like you're saying, they just all they can do is just project. And it just sounds so absurd. Now, here's the thing. That's not to say that there aren't Democrat dark money groups. There fucking are. Yeah, I know very well about these groups. But in terms of like the judicial fight, they haven't been around as long, especially not the ones conservatives are pointing to, as long as like the conservative sort of judicial reform groups that exist. The funny thing is, like, if anything, the Democratic groups are just like modeling what the right has been doing. They're like, OK, so this is how we're going to fight over the Constitution through this arena. OK, now this, I guess we all have to move like that. So just to pile onto the irony of this, the dark money line of attack is being amplified and funded by dark money groups on the right. So it's just a very, very, very frustrating moment, because, again, I think the other things that make a lot of people scared of her on the right, or not scared, or the reason they see like, oh, this person has their head on straight, is that she spent her time as a public defender.
Yeah.
And that's rare. The last Supreme Court justice who was a public defender was fucking Thurgood Marshall.
Jesus Christ.
That's the last time, because everything is like this prosecutor to judge pipeline. There's a report from the Center for American Progress said that only about 1% of all federal appellate judges spent the majority of their careers as public defenders.
Yeah.
8% of all federal judges are former public defenders. That means the 92% are coming from, you know, I like to lock up poor people background. And now I'm the judge who decides what sentences are.
When you look at the fact that one of, if not the biggest problem that we have as a society is the caging of human beings, the like unprecedented, like ahistoric caging of human beings, like her, you know, nomination and confirmation feel like way, way more important, because like that's, yeah, it makes sense that we have that problem when everybody who moves up is a prosecutor. And like being a prosecutor is the only way you can get rewarded. So, I don't think I realized how rare it was until you put the story together.
How nasty can you be as a prosecutor? Because then we want that mindset into the people who are determining sentencing and keeping up the prison industrial complex, essentially.
Right.
And I think the other thing is they see, for Ketanji Brown Jackson, she inherently understands the need for public defenders, especially when people of color, black people, intersect with the legal system. She's like, they will fucking treat you like subhuman, do whatever they can just to get a verdict and then move on to the next thing without any consideration of what the facts are and like due process. And I think that's why you see like the lines of questioning that she's faced from conservatives in her past confirmation hearings. They like weaponize the fact that she's like defended people who like had no like legal recourse, because that's like one of the few things guaranteed in the Constitution, which is like, well, if you can't defend yourself, a public defender will be appointed to like handle your case. And so they ask her stuff like, you know, because she's represented people who are like in Gitmo. They're like, do you agree with 9/11 terrorists that you've represented? Or the fact that she's a public defender opens up to lines of questions like, are you soft on crime and you think criminals should be released basically like immediately? And that's your idea of how like society works. And it's just fucking disgusting. I mean, luckily she's used to dealing with this kind of racist bullshit. So she's, you know, I think recently she was asked like, did you ever participate in a riot? Is what someone asked. And she's like, no.
It's not serious. And the problem with, you know, you've got dark money everywhere because of Citizens United. So, until we get money out of politics, it's almost impossible to even be invested in this stuff without getting just depressed. And to fight that depression and to try to be engaged and to really elect people who care is such a Herculean task, you know, like go against all this money. It seems like a waste. I mean, it really is like close to like throwing your hands up, because when you see what they did to how they blocked Obama's appointee, Merrick whatever Garland. His name was, and yeah, who's now the attorney general, who I'm not a fan of really what he's doing. You know, anyway, I just think it's really hard to, none of this is serious. Like Republicans are not serious. They're fucking all, because they're all paid for. They're all just like guys that are just, and women who are just paid to be incendiary and to distract from reality and to use terms like court packing, which is just this like fucking thing they came up with in a fucking focus group, you know, or whatever. You know, it's like this great term for something that needs to happen, or else we're just going to have like half the country being ignored because the Supreme Court is mostly conservative. I mean, it's just all, but the main thing is the way they treated, the way they confirmed Coney Barrett in 5 seconds, the way they fucking, right. the way they ignored the real evidence about Kavanaugh and right. let this guy say he loves to drink beer 50 times during his fucking confirmation hearing. Yeah. Just, you can't even say that in
and
any
you have
job
the audacity
interview.
To like question someone who has more judicial experience.
Yes. And so see them doing this, I think even they know this is not going to work because it's so no. transparent, but it's depressing to see.
Yeah.
And it's all because of dark money.
Yeah. Where this goes, I mean, it potentially, you know, I think there have been write-ups sort of talking about this sort of this appointment and how really now that the Supreme Court is really just a place for the left and the right to argue over what the actual Constitution is. That's all the Supreme Court's been like sort of distilled down to. It's like, no, this is where we come with our competing definitions of the Constitution and how that works. So we can use that to sort of dictate what the laws are based on the decisions made by these justices. And yeah, it's not really to ensure equitable outcomes because yeah, once the money's involved, it makes more sense for these people who run industries that are, you know, invested in destroying the environment and things like that. It's like, well, if I have these politicians here, they'll think that the real tug of war is over this shit and not the fact that we're just extracting massive amounts of profit from the earth while also screwing it up, or any other industry. Maybe you're making weapons or whatever, but it's been effective to the point that, yeah, I get it, Chris. You're like, what the fuck?
Well, also, white Christian fundamentalism is all running through that, not by accident. Like the Federalist Society and mm-hmm. Opus Dei, whatever the hell that is. Like they're like these religious orders that produce judges, and they funnel them directly to Trump. And that's how we end up with like Amy Coney Barrett, who's like in a fucking cult, who's now a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
I mean, and you've got these people who are actually think they can. They're actually excited about the end of the world. So they don't care about fucking people dumping shit in fucking streams or anything else. They, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, go ahead, destroy the environment. Like, it's great because then Jesus will come back. Because the environment's supposed to be fucked up during the brimstone times. Like, they're like, this air is supposed to be full of brimstone. But if it has to be like, you know, fucking industrial waste, that'll be the same. I love that they're trying to trick God. They're just like, we're just going to create
the
conditions.
Can we hurry this up, God? Can we?
God, look. Brimstone. He's like, I said fucking brimstone, not NO2 and
but
methane.
He's gonna look down, he's gonna be like, listen, it looks like brimstone to me. Let's start the rapture.
They read Revelations and just started like doing the wrap it up sign. Like, can we get this going?
The US embassy's in the right city. The fucking the sky is black. I say let's start the fucking rapture.
Bring it on home.
We trick God.
And that is a quote from Chris Crofton that you can take out of context anytime you want.
What did I say? Something bad?
No, it was
I don't
fine.
Know what happened, but no.
Totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane because there is a healthy part of the Republican Party that thinks that chaos is good because it will trick God into thinking it's time for the revelation.
For the encore.
I mean, that is such a big problem. If you have people who are nihilists on the Supreme Court, and I believe there are, because the Christian end times philosophy is just nihilism redressed.
Right.
And it's thinking that these people are fucking sexually frustrated because of Christianity. They want to be torn limb from limb.
Right.
You think Mike Pence doesn't want to be torn limb from limb?
Or like Mike Pompeo.
He'd give his right arm.
Right.
I mean, that's a joke. He'd give his right arm to be torn limb from limb.
Wait, but then you're tearing yourself limb from limb. See?
Yeah, but you know, these people want the rapture is the closest they're going to get to a hand job, basically.
Right.
You
know, Mike Pence is like, I can't wait till a chariot runs over my dick.
A flaming chariot.
Ooh, those horsemen sound sexy.
There's four of them?
Yeah, fuck. That sounds like too many for me to fight off.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about other aspects of the apocalypse we find ourselves in.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. And this is just a quick one. We had talked... I was surprised to read in an article about how crypto and, you know, NFTs and just blockchain monetary value tends to flow rightward. I was surprised to read a quote from the co-creator of Dogecoin saying, after years of studying it, I believe the cryptocurrency is an inherently right-wing, hyper-capitalistic technology built primarily to amplify the wealth of its proponents through a combination of tax avoidance, diminished regulatory oversight, and artificially enforced scarcity. So that's one of the big creators being like, this isn't good. But like that, one of the top two minds in crypto, the creator and founder of Ethereum, whose name is Vitalik Buterin, like created Ethereum, which is now like the second most valuable crypto behind Bitcoin, is basically saying... I'll just read a direct quote from him. He's on the cover of Time magazine, and it basically says the print headline is "The Prince of Crypto has some concerns," and he's saying if we don't exercise our voice, the only things that get built are the things that are immediately profitable, and those are often far from what's actually the best for the world. But yeah, I mean, but his general point of view on the whole thing is that it's becoming just like a gambling thing. It's like quick profits. There's no oversight. There's nothing steering it in a direction that is like high minded or, you know, the reasons he initially got involved and like has right. been this like visionary in this industry was because he was interested in like doing, you know, having crypto backed elections and things like that, that just made things less centralized, more secure. And it's just, first of all, the if we don't exercise our voice caveat at the beginning of his thing feels pretty weak to me, because it's, you know, vague as fuck, but also sounds a lot like, just reminds me of like the early days of, you know, social media with like Mark Zuckerberg and like, don't be evil being Google's motto. And it's just like, we've got to exercise our voice. But like, what is,
right? What,
like the, at the very like cellular, like basic level, the thing that it, the engine that is driving crypto is the profit motive. And the thing that he is objecting to is the profit motive.
Which is also wild because that Time magazine issue was released as an NFT.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like so weird too, because he's like, man, it's the dystopian potential for crypto and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, yeah, yeah, they'll exploit this album, this magazine cover, it also be an NFT for someone to buy too. But that's cool.
You know? NFTs, man, the whole thing is just like fucking just more ways for rich people to, it ends up, I think this guy, I understand this guy probably thought this was like a, I mean, it's like Nirvana thinking like when they started playing, you know, they thought that this was going to cause a revolution and people would stop being hair metal bands and everybody be more real, you know, but it got co-opted, you know, then next thing you know, there's runways.
Immediately gets co-opted. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like grunge fashion models, like, at, you know, Fashion Week in Paris, right. You know, it's like the same. It's like, you know, it's like the idea that crypto would be a different or democratizing currency. But instead it's become, you know, immediately it's just pounced on by a million fucking dicks who want to just, you know, who just figure out it's a way to launder money. It's a way to,
right.
It's a way to, dollar signs, it's a way, right, to trick people who are, have no money into buying some more shit that they can then, you know, it's another pyramid scheme, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like he does seem to be like, if there was a person who would be capable of like kind of figuring out the right ways to use this, he seems like he would be that person in a lot of the things he says, but he just hasn't been able to do it. Like it's,
yeah, I hope like, so.
Yeah.
I hope somebody figures out how to do something that would, you know, shake up shit. But, you know, I think it's a bummer. Like NFTs bum me out because it's just like, I mean, it's like anything. It's like if you know somebody who has a bunch of money, you can sell an NFT to them. But if you don't, then if you're a poor person and you fucking, you know, you don't, it's another access to wealth thing. You know, it's like if I had an NFT, you know, who am I going to sell it to? You know, right, like an oligarch that I know? Right. No. You have to know somebody who's like a fucking, has enough money to throw away on a fucking digital photo. I mean, it's just like, there's nothing about NFTs that's...
But it's not just a digital photo, Chris. What you're doing is you're buying something that could have potentially exponential, like a value explosion. And yeah, it may look, you may see the lines go up and down, but really at the end of the day, I mean, what you're holding on to is, not like, is a seed that could turn into an entire forest.
Okay. Oh, okay, God. Boomer. You know, did you see like Jimmy Kimmel doing that? Not Jimmy Kimmel, I always
call, oh yeah,
Fallon. Jimmy Fallon fucking Fallon, doing the, yeah, yeah, NFT, yeah, ad with the fucking, yeah, chimp with fucking Paris, that was Hilton, nuts.
Yeah,
yeah, that's when like I think you'd hope most people would be like, okay, this is some weird rich people trying to be like, hey, listen up, poors.
Yeah, I bought a this fucking cartoon, cool, huh, ape like for a lot of money, you should all do that. Like what money would you be talking about, Mr. Fallon? That, yeah, we have to, yeah, blow on a cartoon ape.
Which now costs, like, some of them cost $1 million each.
Yeah, so it's like, who you know, it's another thing where it's like, who you know.
Right.
But I hope somebody, and I don't know anything about Bitcoin, you know. I mean, I'll be left on the street corner if there's, you know, I'll be on the street corner fucking dancing for change Bitcoin. If the world goes Bitcoin, because I don't know how to get any.
Yeah.
I don't know how to mine Bitcoin. I don't even know how to mine regular.
But even if you did, like, that, like, so... That's the thing. The thing that the Time magazine article, it's actually a pretty good article for Time magazine, I will say. And I don't think I've ever said that before, but they're typically a garbage publication. They did a good job with this article. But the things they point out are like the ecological side effects, the fact that it's predatory, the fact that it's largely white males like taking advantage of this and like getting rich off this, the fact that like what they're doing with their profit seems to be buying super yachts and Lambos. Like that's, and yeah, the standard shit. But I just wanted to go back to something I mentioned earlier, but like, this is also creating a massive market where some very smart people, or, you know, people who might otherwise have an inspiration to create a uncloggable tunnel or, you know, some shit. Yeah, culvert. Mm-hmm. Like those people are now just focused on like tracking the fucking lines of like what's happening with crypto, and it's not, I don't know. It just feels like it's this dead end that our culture is increasingly, you know, because capitalism is the singularity that everybody was worried about for so many years in sci-fi. Like, capitalism is that, and it just continuously finds a way to replicate itself and, you know, lead us into more, you know, markets where, or more like futures where the entire thing is just capitalism and nothing else, and there's no good being created by this. Yeah,
right.
And, well, probably, I mean, yeah, a lot of bad.
When people don't have, like, when the norm is many people experiencing lack, then suddenly the emphasis is like trying to come out of that, and then you see all these weird, these, you know, get rich quick schemes that are around people, and it makes sense that people are like, well, then I guess this is where to put the energy, because yes, that's how I'm going to pull myself out of this.
That's
because that's what my day-to-day existence is not having shit.
It's so true.
This is the thing that's being like waved in front of my face. Then, yeah, that's all the attention is going to go there, because all the attention isn't on the bigger issue, which is everyone is lacking. Everyone is experiencing lack.
Yeah, because people's day-to-day, they can't get ahead. So, and they really can't. They're in debt. Most people are in debt. You know, that's what, so they took all, you know, they basically, they've drained, they've looted the consumers of America. Like, when they had no more money, they gave them subprime mortgages. When they had no more money, they gave them loans. They gave, everybody in America is in debt. Like, the debt is through the roof. So the last frontier is like, let's now dangle get rich quick schemes in front of these people to take even whatever's left, you know, like, yeah. Because they don't have any other, because they don't see a day-to-day way out of student loan debt, regular debt, car loans, whatever it is. They can't get ahead because wages are stagnant. So they just are like how evil capitalism has become, because it's not really a thing. It has no soul. It just does what, you know, somebody's going to say, here's an idea of how we can get the last penny from these people. We'll dangle these get rich quick schemes, you know, and then right. the old thing, well, I don't want to do that, but I mean, somebody's going to do it, so I might as well do it. You know, somebody's going to do this.
Launder your reputation by, yeah.
And it's just, I think about that with like fame now. Why everybody wants to be famous. It's not because they want to be famous. They want to be safe.
Yeah.
Like, fame is not like that. People just, it's like Hunger Games in the sense that people who stan celebrities are standing them because they're safe. They're like, love them, and they're happy for them because they are safe. They have healthcare. They have, you know, that is not what, it's not art anymore. It's like survival. It's a contest. And I hate that, because, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I just think about that lately, just that celebrities are just safe people. I mean, Maria Bamford had that bit a long time ago about Jennifer Aniston just being the monkey that knows where all the bananas are. Like, she was like, it makes sense for, as humans, that we would look to the people who know where the resources are and basically chase them. So she's like, you look at Jennifer Aniston, she definitely has, she knows where all the bananas are. She's the monkey that knows. So you're going to follow her.
Right.
But it's like watching, like, you know, any celebrity now, like, I can't stop thinking about Dua Lipa, because she came to Nashville and everybody filmed her on stage. And I saw the crowd, you know, filming her. And I don't know any of her songs, and I'm not particularly angry at Dua Lipa, but she, it seemed like the fan energy was more just like, I wish I was her, because she's safe. She has everything. Look at how beautiful she is. Look at her beautiful clothing. Look at her beautiful, you know what I mean? Like, she is living the life I wish I could live. And the only way I can get it is either through some Hail Mary pass, like buying crypto or a fucking virtual ape, or just being famous. Like, maybe I can become a celebrity and then I'll have healthcare.
Yeah.
And that is not, that is crazy, because that corrupts art completely. And art is so important. There's no culture. And this is, I mean, you're talking about this. There's no culture when capitalism takes over everything. And culture is what keeps people, it's the reason to be alive. You right. know, like, it's like, culture is what we're all feeling the lack of. When I feel sad right now, it's because there's no culture anymore. There's just anger and money and all these things. But those aren't, that's not culture.
Right. Stuff anyway, disguises culture.
You know, it's just stuff I think about. When I think about fame now, I definitely think that, and I'm part of it too. I'm like, you know, I want to be safe. I bet if I'm famous, I can get good health care and, you know, get a hair transplant. A good looking one. Not one of those street corner jobs. No, not one of those broom. No, not one of those like broom bristles fucking stuck in your head.
You don't want doll hair?
I want that fucking McConaughey hair.
Yeah. Mm.
That motherfucker was bald.
You want that Antonio Banderas?
That motherfucker was bald. And I want people to know that. Yes. Yeah. He was fucking bald. And he says it was from
those.
He said he got, here's what he said. And I'm a bald guy, so I know all this shit. I'm like the fucking bald police. Because when you're a bald guy, you want everybody else to be bald.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And no, you want to take him down. Oh, look at Mr. Hair. Oh, Mr. Hair with his wife and kids.
Mr. Hair with the wife and kids.
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Jack O'Brien. I'm looking at you, Mr. Hair. So, yeah, so I'm like always observing, you know, like just checking out people's hair to see if it's real. And anyway, McConaughey, man, I was like, what the fuck? That guy went bald. I was psyched.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, he's gone. He's out. You know, he's off the list.
He's out of the game.
Yeah, he's not gonna get a wife. And and then McConaughey.
He's the loser.
McConaughey gets his hair back and it looks great. And he says it's because he took Propecia because he had like bullshit. That's a weave and it's a beautiful one, and I want to know where he got it. And if you're listening, McConaughey, I know iHeartRadio's got a lot of celebrities in there. You probably have a podcast. I want to find out where you got that thing. You can DM me.
Yeah.
And the other thing.
Actually, one of our new interns. He's worked for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Lost his hair. Oh, yeah. Fuck. You guys are doing good. Yeah. You guys are doing good. Oh, he's an intern because he lost his hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, he ran out of those pills.
Yeah.
Couldn't, the supply chain took away his hair.
He heard podcasting, it gave him easy access to hair loss ads.
Fucking, I was investigating Chris Martin from Coldplay has a fucking hair weave.
Yeah. Do you think it's a weave or do you think it's surgery?
I feel whatever like it is, it looks kind of funny because it's like too. Like I saw a picture of him. He's promoting the new record, and I was like, wait a minute, where did he get like kids' hair?
Yeah,
yeah. You know, he had like Jude Law's widow. Jude Law widow's peak.
Yeah, he looks like he's got like fucking 17-year-old hair, and he's like, I don't know, 65 or something. And anyway, I just noticed and I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's not his real hair. Because this hairline, whenever you see a hairline that's too uniform.
When it bounces you know, back
straight across. Too,
yeah.
My mom taught me all this. She's always fucking pointing out people. She's like, that's a wig. She's been doing that her whole life. I don't know why.
Well, Chris, as always, a true pleasure to have you. You are my mom's favorite guest that we ever have on Daily Zeitgeist.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She texts me every time you're on. She's like, Chris Crofton is such a character.
That makes me so happy.
She loves. She's a big Crofton fan.
Yeah, is she single?
She's not.
Hey, man.
I just asked if she was single. That doesn't mean anything. You can ask. That's not against the law to ask that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Just kidding. you are now my dad's least favorite guest.
That makes me happy. No, I hope your parents are so happy and I don't want to do anything. I don't know where they are. You know, I don't know where they are.
And we'll keep it that way.
O'Brien's not your last name anyway. You probably have deep not. Cover, right?
Come on. It's fake, just like my hair.
That's real hair. I could tell. I'm so jealous. I'm angry, not just jealous.
Shut up. Don't lie to me. That's your real hair.
The whole time I'm on this Zoom, I'm just seething, drinking more cold brew, hoping it'll cause growth.
Where can people find you and follow you?
I would say the most, right now, the most important thing is just for me, this book is the best thing I've ever had. I mean, it's like my favorite thing I've ever done. It actually, I think it's more of a weird philosophy book than really an advice book. So it's called The Advice King Anthology, and you can get it at VanderbiltUniversityPress.com. And if you get it now, like it's not on Amazon yet because it's pre-sales. Vanderbilt University Press can get more money from, even with 40% off, they get more money than through Amazon. So if you buy it directly from Vanderbilt University Press right now, you get 40% off. So it's like a $13 book plus shipping. It's like 17 bucks. It's 340 pages. It's so fun. It's got tons of laughs, and it's also got some serious stuff, a lot of serious stuff. And also stories about me buying like used cars and shit. That's just like the saddest stuff. That's so fun to laugh at. That just to hear about someone else's sad life is in there too. So VanderbiltUniversityPress.com and code to get 40% off is 15PRE, 15PRE. And thanks to you guys, and thanks to Jamie Loftus for giving me a quote on it. And I'm going to read this other quote that is on the cover of the book. Crofton is equal parts Heather Havriletsky, Wendell Berry, and BoJack Horseman.
Whoa.
And that's from a guy named David Dark, who's written like 10 books. So damn, you know it's true. And Nick Gazin, Nicholas Gazin illustrated it. And the illustrations are fantastic. And then you can find me at The Crofton Show and at The Crofton Show on Instagram and Twitter. And oh, and Cold Brew Got Me Like. Go listen to Cold Brew Got Me Like. It's on every week.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you can enjoy?
This is from someone named at Shocks, S-H-O-C-K-S. A lot of folks convinced they could survive the collapse of civil society seem unable to survive $5 gas. Like, that's the fucking whole picture right there.
There you go.
I want an insurrection so I can fucking never have any supplies from the supply chain.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other pod, 420 Date Beyonce with Sophie Alexander. And also the basketball podcast, Mad Boosties. That's coming soon. More to come on that one. Some tweets I like. First one is from at Netso _ tweeted, selling my degree, still in good condition, never been used. Felt like a good sales ad for that degree. And then Lily Sullivan at Lily Yilly tweeted, my love language is cooking elaborate meals, screaming at everyone to get out of the kitchen, then loudly announcing the food was not my best and waiting for compliments.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Kat Elgarista tweeted, takes a long drag off cigarette. Yeah, I know the muffin man. And then John Boyce again tweeted, the shift key is the most useless key on the keyboard. It doesn't do anything. Don't to me to the number two. It's that without the shift.
Love it.
Fucking got me. I was like, love well, it. How about that?
Oh, I got one other one I forgot. Yeah, Brendan Cooney, and I feel like he deserves a shout out because he's a funny comedian and he also does great tweets. But it's kind of hard. It's a visual one, but it's a picture of like one of those Americana ladies, like one of those white, like a Venice, California Americana ladies who wear those big, huge hats, like, you know, like those big cowboy hats. And he said, if someone has one of these hats in line, add 25 minutes to your Starbucks trip. Which I really like. You guys can see the picture here. There's the lady.
Yep.
Go see my show. I forgot. Go see my show at Club TG April 3rd, Sunday in Los Angeles. And that includes you and you guys. Please come. It's I'm playing music.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
All right.
What's Club TG?
Club TG is on Glendale, right across from it's like Atwater Village. It's right across from, it's right next to Out of the Closet Thrift Store. Across from all those shops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's called Club TG, and I go on at someone before me who's great named Gabe Bernini, and then I'm on at 10 o'clock. And it's just me in this room. And this TG was an old bar in the 50s, and they kind of remodeled. It's like one side's a bar and the other side's a little performance room. And it's kind of hip. It's cool.
Nice.
All
right.
Catch you there.
Sunday, April 3rd.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
I was listening to the new Rosalia album over the weekend. The album's called Motomami. And the production on this is really, really good. And it's just a fun listen. So the first track, you know, the first track on the album, Saoko. Saoko. There's a lot of, you know, Japanese stuff in there. For the visuals and some of the stuff in the videos. But this is called Saoko. And it's a fun track. It's only 2 minutes or something. But the production's great. Album's worth a listen. So check it out. This is Rosalia with Saoko.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, though, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.